Seeking a motion to reconvene the meeting at 9:16.
Motion.
By Dan McTiernan, and a second.
Second.
By Michelle Sullivan.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Oh, yes, motion carries.
So the meeting is back in session. We left off by wrapping up the curriculum and technology report. We're still in the report of the school business administrator, which is the primary body of the budget work session. And we're going to move on to an additional report of the school business administrator relating to capital improvements.
One of the big pieces of our budget, as we look at the major components, would be capital improvements and facilities maintenance. When we started to look at this budget, one of the biggest driving factors behind how we prioritized and the things that we discussed on putting in this budget and actually planning for future is safety and security recommendations. Mostly, in large part, we've been forced, as many other districts and many other places in the state of New Jersey, have been forced to look at our general operations on a day-to-day basis based on what happened in Connecticut. So what we have done is we've taken a look from a security and safety perspective from different meetings that we've had in the district, meetings that we've had with principals and teachers and outside sources, people who have children in and out of the building, and some plans that we have to put in place to make sure that our students are safe. One of the things that we've identified is phone system upgrades in different levels in all of our schools. We've determined that it's important that teachers or students or anyone that might be in an emergency situation have the capabilities of being able to notify others that there are an emergency situation. So for example, if something happens at Round Valley School on the main level, there will be an opportunity for someone to notify the entire school building of, for example, a dangerous person, even though they may not be in that area, so that the teachers have an opportunity to lock down the students in places as safe as possible, as quickly as possible. And the best way to be able to do that is obviously through our phone systems. Right now, at our school buildings, we do not have the capability of, for example, doing an all call from any school classroom in the building. That would be one of our priorities, is to be able to notify the entire building that there is a problem and that everyone needs to be locked down quickly. It involves several different phases at different schools. For example, our newest school, which is the middle school, has brand new phone systems and some capabilities that we may not have in place at this time. We're in the process of reviewing all of that information to make sure that we are using the best of our technology at any given time. We have upgraded this year to a new phone system at Patrick McGarren. Again, we're at the stage where it needs to be installed and implemented. And this $86,000 is basically for a new phone system at Round Valley School, as well as Spruce Run School. We've also identified that additional security cameras need to be put in place at each of the school buildings. The biggest piece of this number is to install security cameras on the outside of buildings on all the exterior doors. Right now, our school buildings have an outside security camera, but only on the front door. So the estimate is about $50,000 to do all four schools to ensure that we have as much outside coverage as we can so that we can see who's approaching the building and can take the proper precautions. Another piece that's really important is updating our locks, upgrades to our locks and hardware at each of our schools. We have done some of this on an emergent basis. When we began to do an evaluation, we realized that some of our classrooms, at Spruce Run School especially, they were unable to lock the doors at all. In all of our schools, we have some situations where if the classroom needs to be locked down, typically the teacher needs to go outside in the hallway to lock the door, which isn't the most conducive in an emergency situation. So we're looking at solutions for that. We're looking to possibly put tumblers on the inside so the teacher from the inside of the classroom can lock the door and lock down the classroom without having to be exposed to any dangerous situation that may be occurring in the hallway. The estimate to do that is about $55,000. At Round Valley School, we have an outdated fire alarm system. We are estimating to upgrade that system at $30,000. We are looking at Patrick McGarren School to replace the exterior doors. The exterior doors at Patrick McGarren School are hollow metal doors that are rusted and quite deteriorated. There are several of them that need to be replaced, as well as the front doors, and that estimate is $50,000. Other things that we have identified as safety concerns are parking lot repairs. We have specific parking lot repairs to Spruce Run School and Patrick McGarren School. Spruce Run School has a sinkhole in the front parking area that needs to be repaired. Patrick McGarren has a situation in the front of the school where it's unlevel and the water pools in shallow areas, which is obviously a risk in cooler weather for slipping and sliding and those types of things. These are things that we have identified. These aren't all things that we've identified just this particular year. I believe these are things that have been discussed in previous budgets and have been put off based on some refinancing, if you will, in the budget, and other needs that needed to be met as well. And the final thing that we've identified that we'd like to try to get into this year's budget is at Patrick McGarren School, there's two entryways into the Patrick McGarren School. One of the parking lots is on days where it's too muddy to be on the playground, they use one of the parking lots as a play area for the students at recess time. However, there's a way to get into the parking lot that potentially could be a risk to students. So the architect has recommended that we put some sort of a gate there where if the students are actually in that area on a recess time, the gate can be closed or any time during the school day, actually the gate could be closed, so there's no access in there if we have students playing in that area.
Heather, can I ask a question?
Sure.
Sorry. So these are items that we've identified through our architective record, and I know we've discussed this, but these are things we're looking to accomplish in the upcoming budget cycle and to do so out of the capital improvements budget? No.
These are things that, yes, have been identified by the architect of record. At last meeting, we did appoint a new architect of record, and within that week, he was out here looking at all of our buildings to basically, this was a hot topic for our board, as well as our staff and our parents, in terms of how safe are our schools and what can we do as quickly as possible to make them safer. The architect identified these things in walkthroughs that became obvious. There are also some things that we talked about in safety and security meetings. These are things we'd like to take a look at getting into this year's budget. They would go through Fund 12, which would be capital improvement, and not use any of the capital reserve money we have at this point. The reason for that is twofold. One is we have a very low amount at this particular moment in capital reserve because of a roof project that we did last year. Our capital reserve balance is $472,000, which in a district our size is less than 2%. In addition to that, some of these things as well may be maintenance. So there's two ways that we can do it. We're going to look at grant money for some of these things. We do have safety grant money that's been identified that possibly we can take care of some of these lower cost items, if you will. For example, parking lot repairs, I believe some of the grants were written in that way. So some of those items we may be able to pull off of there. But the big piece we're gonna flow through maintenance, building maintenance and repairs.
Gotcha.
If it becomes an issue where it's absolutely urgent and it's something that we absolutely need to do, then that's when we will be able to go through the capital reserve process.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say that there are a couple of other areas that I wanted to mention that we haven't put on here yet, but that we're looking at very seriously and maybe added. One of them has to do with, we met with the fire marshals, and accordion doors, or gates, in certain sections of our building would help with evening security hours. And they were originally not authorized by the fire marshal. He's going to authorize those, and we're working out how many we need and prices. So I don't have that for you yet, but that'll be something else that we'll be adding for the future because of evening security. And I wanted just to remind you about the state mandates that we don't know in March what's going to be coming there. So to be aware that there might be, you know, something that they're going to forecast that we're not aware of yet that will that they'll have as a mandate that we'll have to be doing.
And that's relative to security, right?
Yes.
Can I ask a question? Thinking about this gate installation at Patrick McGarren, there is a back entrance off of 31 via Hoffman Road to Patrick McGarren. Mm-hmm. And so thinking about the fact that that road is accessible to anyone, has there been any thought given to providing possibly another gate for the back entrance?
That wasn't part of our conversation, but it is something that actually I can look into as well. So there's three entrances into Patrick McGarren. Mm-hmm.
And there are several parents. I mean, now that there's the new drop-off procedure for work family where you can only access it through the gym door, a lot of the parents use that access road. And they come
so
in
they're coming
through the
in
back
a different
off 31.
Way.
I do it myself.
Sure.
because it's easier. And so just so you're aware of that, there is quite a lot of traffic, especially prior to buses arriving between 7 and, you know, 8:15-ish.
Okay.
I'm not sure this could be done, but have you looked at, on the phone system upgrades, whether or not Spruce Run School can be tied into the phone system that's here?
I don't believe it can because of the proximity, but I think that's something that I'm going to need to ask Jason. I think it's something that the phone system... I don't think that they're the same at this point. We're talking about putting in...
I don't know that you can do that here, but you can actually put a tie trunk up to the building there and have the phone system here just add phones up there.
I don't know that answer at this moment. We can look into that as well.
Might be more expensive.
Some of the things that we've also needed to look into, especially at Spruce Run and Patrick McGarren, is that our wiring needs to be upgraded as well. So some of the things we've discussed is, do you put in, you know, a basic phone system that can do what we need to do from a security perspective, or do you start talking about putting in a more robust wiring where we can accomplish more things at one time, for example, a phone system, maybe some data drops, maybe improving the internet access as we talk about some of these additional technology assets we're going to put in the classrooms. So those are all part of the discussion. The wiring is not included in these numbers at this time.
Wiring for voice and data?
Yes. These were some of the things we talked about that would be able to make the learning experience better as well. Like, so for example, quicker internet access, those types of things. Right now, this is just from a safety perspective in terms of making sure that we, from all of our classrooms, can dial 911, can do an all call. Anybody can do an all call from any place and let people know what's going on in the building. That was our priority based on our security meetings and, you know, the hot issues that we were dealing with and that we are dealing with.
Regarding the grant money, how much money do we have now allocated from grants?
We have safety grants of about $32,000 that's in this existing budget for the last 2 years that has been unspent. And it hasn't been spent because I think we've been waiting to see where this information was going to fall out. This is something that we've discussed
in
finance.
Is there any way that we can increase?
I'm sorry?
Is there any way that we can increase the grant money?
What happens is the grant, it's a safety grant, and it comes from New Jersey School Board's insurance, and we apply for it every year. It's been on average between $16,000 and $17,000 a year. We have not spent yet our last 2 years, so the 11-12 or the 12-13. I believe it is, I think we apply for it in about March or April, so we'll be applying for a new round of grant money as well. So obviously these would be things that we'd be looking at that would be quick tickets.
Are there any other sources of safety grants?
I'm not sure. I know that there are some things we've talked about from with the architect in terms of some programs that I believe that he worked on. We haven't gotten to that point yet with
there
him.
Is a, I know of a federal emergency management grant that used to be available. I don't know how available it is right now. It's a massive grant, and you have to have certain risk categories to get it, and I'm not sure Clinton Township actually has those physical risks, but we're going to look at that as well.
That'd be great. And one more question. What did we spend last year on capital improvements?
Our capital improvements in the last 2 years' budgets have been reduced compared to what our needs probably were. I think that we took some money out of these areas to enrich other areas. So this is a year-over-year increase. The exact dollar amount, I'm not 100% sure of because these are so preliminary. As we start to refine exactly what we want to do and the systems we want to put in, you know, we'll have a better understanding. I'll have a clearer idea once we, you know, associate the grant money and those types of things with it as well. Those types of things that we might be able to do out of this year's budget, for example, maybe we'll have the funds to put in the gates that we need or things like that. So I'm still, you know, working through that process. We should have a firmer understanding by the next meeting.
Some of it we could fund out of 2012, 2013.
Correct. Yes. That's correct.
Oh, okay. So some of the 294 would get laid off onto this year then?
Possibly.
That's great.
That's possibly.
294 was my...
Yeah, I don't know where the 294 came from. Did you add them all up?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was going to say, okay, sorry.
What of, I believe a previous board made an agreement with the Vaught House people about putting in some kind of a sidewalk. Is that in here or in consideration, or where are we on that?
That is not in here, and it has never been budgeted. We've agreed to approximately, I think it's $9,000, am I correct on that?
That's right.
It has not been budgeted. If that's something that we would like to put in here, I don't know a timetable on that. If that's something that the expectation is to have it done in the next budgetary year, that might be something we need to reach out.
That might be something we might want to push with the Vaught House people, because when I came in today, there was a car at the entrance, and I assumed the car had a flat tire. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't imagine children in this environment are going to have to walk on the asphalt there. Something like that happens, they're just being put in the road for a chance to be harmed. So having a sidewalk running from the school out to Gray Rock, to me, would just be a good idea. From a safety perspective,
I would agree. I've seen the kids at dismissal. You know, I'm sitting in line waiting to pick up my daughter last year, and there's usually 10, 15, 20 kids that walk up on the grass, and then they, you know, hop across the road and go on out to I can't remember the name of the street out there, but
Gray Rock.
Thank you. Out to Gray Rock, and it looks a little dicey from a safety perspective.
But with all due respect, I think that the sidewalk that we had contemplated in that subdivision went from the Vaught House to the parking lot behind it. It doesn't really connect the school to Gray Rock or anything like that. That would be different.
And it wouldn't alleviate any crossing of Gray Rock Road, correct?
No, my understanding of that sidewalk was internal around Vaught House.
That's right. I think the total was $18,000. We split it with them.
Split
it with them 50-50.
That is correct.
It was just to get to the parking,
Lot behind behind the house.
Yep.
Yeah.
I can go ahead and see if that's a priority and something that we want to take a look at. We can look at it in facilities as well as to whether or not we want to look into doing something like that and see what the cost would be.
I'd recommend that we take it up at the next facilities meeting. We can have a more detailed discussion on that.
The other thing to consider as well is if they're starting to do renovations on that property, the timing of that sidewalk, if they're not going to get to where we need to put that sidewalk in during the next budgeting process, then maybe we don't have to allocate that $9,000 for next fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
But if they are prepared for it 18 months from now, then maybe we can use that $9,000 for something else that may not be on this list.
Yeah, if we have that availability. And again, we'll take it back to finance and facilities as well.
I have just a question. These are safety-driven in nature, and I just wanted to ask how these recommendations are interfacing with our school safety ad hoc committee. I know that you've had a couple of meetings about this. Have you guys had an opportunity to?
I think the next step really is to get together with the architect now that they've been here for a little bit, sit down and see if we can harden up on these numbers and see if there's additional scope items that we would want to include.
I think with the state budget and possibly the feedback of possible mandates from the state, that's not going to come before we have to submit a budget to the county. So even if we don't have a final recommendation on one of these projects, we do need to start to develop a safety budget, knowing that we're going to may have to work out some details after we get the recommendations from the committee and the recommendations possibly from the state, which are going to come later.
Right. There are things here that came from that committee process. So the phone system upgrades came from that security committee. The security cameras, the locks, and hardware. So those came directly from there.
Okay. And maybe at the next public meeting, we didn't have it on the last agenda, but if we could put a reporting segment out for the school safety committee, maybe to just fill in some of the recommendations that are coming out of the committee just to update the public.
Yeah, I mean, now that the architect's been here for a bit and has an idea of what we need and perhaps or at least an order of magnitude in terms of cost, we can come up with that list. So I'll get together with Drew and Heather and see if we can't get the committee together and come up with a bit of a presentation.
We might also want to prepare as well, just in case that legislation that's trying to be pushed through that says any security measures that are required in a school do not count against the 2% cap. And so it would be really probably a good idea to prioritize everything that the architect comes up with, the staff has come up with, Dr. Clark and Heather have come up with, prioritize that list within committee so that if we do get some extra money from the state for security, we're ready to just to go and know exactly what that is in prioritization order.
One more follow-up. Regarding, for example, the security cameras, are there any personnel ramifications to these security improvements?
What do you mean? I'm sorry.
In other words, will we need, I'm just using the security cameras as an example, are we going to have a staffing increase in order to make sure the cameras are monitored?
The goal is, from what I understand, is that there are applications that are available that are internet-driven, so that it's not like you necessarily would need somebody to sit and watch the cameras at all times. But I could visualize a screen that has split screens on where these cameras are, so that if you have activity at any of the doors, someone can look to see where the activity is coming from. I don't see, or the plan at this point is not necessarily to increase staff at this point. It's to put some measures in place where we have the capabilities of at least being able to monitor the situation.
I do think that the principals have asked us to consider some additional office support. So that's something that would tie into the monitoring of those cameras if they're going to be in a main office, that you might need some, you know, if you have one secretary there, you might want to add some support there to make sure that when that person is leaving that office area, that somebody's always monitoring those.
Heather, could you talk a little bit more about the upgrade to the fire alarm system at Round Valley? What are we seeing that needs updating?
This is actually an architect recommendation. It came through as the system not being 100%. It works. It gets us out of the building when we need to get out of the building. We have a lot of quirky things that happen, I believe. We have some faulty alarms. I know by the gym we've gotten some little breaks in our day that weren't necessarily planned. And I think that there are some quirky things with it that need to be upgraded. It's a very old system.
Okay.
That's my understanding of where the recommendation came from.
Thank you.
That overly sensitive as opposed to
undersensitive. Send my kids with little smoke detectors.
Same in this building. Same in this building.
Yeah, this building, from what I understand, needs some fine-tuning in the new building in terms of some of our systems. We're learning as we start to evaluate things. We also have some really great things in this building that we aren't exactly using. For example, we have a capability to use a swipe card system. So, you know, you don't have all the extra keys and stuff. And those are things we're looking into as we begin to make our security a little more than
Heather, I think this actually bears mentioning for the record, since you brought it up, but at our last Facilities and Finance Committee meeting, we talked about the benefits of upgrading the locks and the long-term benefits of a master key system and why that's such an important security improvement. Do you mind, just once again, for the public record, giving us 60 seconds on the process behind the keys? Because I think it's really, really relevant, and I think it's very beneficial for everybody to understand what we're talking about.
Sure. I'm going to use Spruce Run as an example because I think it was our most extreme case of a key situation. I had the pleasure of walking through the building with our building principal as well as with a locksmith who was helping us to fix the emergent needs that we had, rooms that didn't lock, those types of things, and our facilities person. And when you asked Mrs. Goad to open a room, she has a very interesting key ring, and it's quite large. And depending on what section of the building she was in and what rooms she was opening, depended on what key she needed. So we've talked about going to a master lock system, not only for Spruce Run, obviously, but for all of our school buildings. So basically, there would be a grand master, if you will, and that would be one key that opens anything in the building. That I see as a principal who needs to get into any place at any time, anywhere. The superintendent and the buildings and grounds coordinator. In addition to that, the next level would be, for example, a custodial key. So there might be areas in the building that the custodians may not have access to. You might not want them to have access to your some student records, for example. You may have areas of the building where, you know, it's not a grand master situation. It's a, you know, I need to get in and get what I need to get done, and that's it. And then below that would be a teacher key. And what that means is that the teacher would have access to their classroom. So we talked about those three basic levels, and this is something we have to explore more with an architect to put the design in place. But what we wanted to do is we didn't want to make repairs or emergent repairs to meet our needs now, and I don't want to use the word waste money, but not spend our money in an intelligent way without having a long-term plan. So what we talked about doing, well, and I apologize, the next step to that would be we talked about our buildings not being able to lock from the inside of the classroom. So if, for example, you're in a situation where you need to lock down your building, you certainly don't want, you know, the grown-up in the room going outside to lock the door to have to come back in and be at risk. So we talked about putting what they call intruder locks on the inside of the door. And this is something as well that we need to work through with the fire marshal. And what that would mean is that there would be a lock on the inside of the door that the teacher can lock with a key. So the next thought is, oh my gosh, now there's a second key. The plan would be that those keys from the inside would lock from anyone's key in the building. So if, for example, you're the gym teacher and you happen to be walking through the hall with your class, moving them from room to room, and you need to lock down, you're going to get into the closest classroom. I want you to be able to lock that door from the inside with the key you're holding on your key ring. I don't want you to have to go, oh my gosh, I can't lock them down because I'm not in the gym. So we've talked about that level as well as a substitute key, for example. There will be a key inside the classroom, you know, in a magnet on the door where a substitute has access to be able to lock that door from the inside so nobody's at risk from the outside. So those are all things that we've begun talking about and the different levels so that Mrs. Goad, at the end of the day, when this is fully implemented, has one key for her building.
Why would a key system be better than a push button lock?
I believe it's again for safety. It's something that we've talked about. I think that that can inadvertently be locked and unlocked. And you don't want students to be able to lock themselves into places.
Yeah, speaking as a parent whose children have locked themselves in bathrooms in my house with a push-button lock.
Right, and I believe, and I could check into that exact answer for you, but I believe from the understanding that I've gathered, it's for additional safety, that you can't inadvertently lock yourself into any place.
One of the
other
things I
understand. But if you have a policy that your students can't be ever left unattended, then you wouldn't be in a situation necessarily where a student would never be in a classroom alone.
I mean, that's not to say it's not going to happen.
One of the things I heard about those push buttons is that the first responders want access to that room. And if it's a push button and it's not a key that they can access from the inside and outside, then they can get locked out. And if they need to get access into that room quickly, the push button doesn't allow them.
And Rachel, we also discussed in facilities and finance possibly having somebody at CTPD having a master key.
Correct.
For access. The goal here is to make sure that any teacher in the event of an issue can lock themselves in any room with their students as quickly as possible with minimal risk to themselves and the kids. Yet there's a level of security involved so that there are fail-safes so that, as Heather said, custodial staff doesn't necessarily need to get into the children's records. Or also in a situation where Principal Goat or any of the other building principals don't have to go through a monster key ring to figure out a way to get through it.
I understand that, but yeah. I'm thinking from the perspective of being in the classroom, it would be much faster to not have to lock it, just to push it.
But then when, as Maria points out, the issue that you get then is if somebody, EMT, police, fire, need to get into that room, and somebody in that room is incapacitated, how do they get in?
Well, if there's a push button on one side and a key on the other side.
Who's got the key? If you've got a master, the principal or the police department can open the door themselves.
I'm not saying that there shouldn't be a master, but I'm wondering if there can be a master with a push button.
It's something I'll look into. I know that it was explained to me why we couldn't do it, and I don't know the answer off the top of my head. I believe it had something to do with the fact that you can inadvertently be locked into in the classroom.
And I have a follow-up.
A child can push the button, walk out, the door slams behind them, and the door is locked. That's why, you know, for these kinds of applications, a lot of companies do insist on double tumbler mechanism.
Mm-hmm. Is the upgrade to any of these systems have the capability of having swipes at all buildings?
Not at this time. I mean, I think at this time we're trying to, that's a whole separate system. Even if there's swipes to get in and out of the building, it's not going to affect how you get in and out of your classroom. It doesn't here in this.
I know, I understand that, but what I'm asking is, have we looked into that? Because my question then it becomes, how are staff accessing the building in the morning if we have all the doors locked?
Well, they'll have keys to get into the building. Their teacher keys will get them into the building.
Really? Interesting.
That's
every sort of, every large office facility has a master mm-hmm. key set up. The grandmaster opens everything. The maintenance people would have an A master that would open certain keys. The teachers in this case would have another C master or something of that sort that would open another set of doors. Architects do this all the time. They sit down with the users and they determine the zones that the different masters and submasters would work. Every major lock company makes a software program that allows you to control all the keys and who they're issued to, when they're given back, and all that sort of thing. And the same software helps
similar
drive
to a
the,
swipe,
the
right.
machines.
You could program the swipe the same way. I was just curious.
Yeah. Well, we're, this particular issue, and many of these, we're going to go to our architect of record. One of the reasons we qualified them was their ability and their experience with school safety. This was one of the specific things we mentioned when we were interviewing them. So, you know, I have a little bit of knowledge about locks, but I'm not an expert. And I think we're going to want to hear what they have to say and see what the state has to say and give us some recommendations. And then we can, when we get to that point, we'll consider it much more thoroughly before we make a recommendation on implementing a system. So we're wrapping up the capital improvements recommendations by Mrs. Spitzer. Does anybody have any additional questions for Heather before we move on to Dr. Clark's wrap up?
Drew, why don't you just do it for me?
do it from there. Okay.
Report it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I'd just like to close out this presentation with what I'm going to term some good news. So we reviewed today, this evening, a coherent vision for curriculum and programs that ties the budget, curriculum, the future, and technology together, as opposed to looking at them as separate entities. We saw that ratables were trending down, and the school tax rate increase was 1.5% over the last 5 years. We had a solid audit report for 2012. They said we were fiscally responsible with long-term planning. We restructured debt service bonds, resulting in tax savings of approximately $1 million for the public. We're budgeting in capital reserves for long-term project plannings. And I gave an example. This is not the example we used, but when you're long-term planning with capital reserves, you're basically saving over the course of time for something like a new roof. We are also reviewing all our contracts for efficiencies. So, you know, we looked at the architect and got a new architect. We're really looking very closely right now at transportation. We're looking at our use and occupancy agreements and shared services to save whatever money we can to pay for the vision, the curriculum and programs. And I think we've really done well on that in the past. So we have a history of doing that. I believe we can do it again, and hopefully there won't be major cuts to state aid that we'll be dealing with in the next month. I also wanted to just remind everybody of some next meeting dates. Our next meeting is February 25th, 7:30. It's a regular board meeting, but we will talk some budget, and we'll be starting to get that preliminary budget in place. March 4th, we also have scheduled as a preliminary budget meeting. Right now, I have March 18th on the agenda. I'm not sure if we're going to keep that or not, if we're going to need it or not. So I wanted some feedback from the board. And March 25th, we have scheduled as a public hearing. Is there anything that the board would like to see at our next meeting? I clearly heard that you wanted some information about recommendations about lease purchase with the Chromes and technology for the future, and wanted a comparison in terms of last year and this year with curriculum budget, professional development, that kind of thing. Is what else would you like to be hearing? We thought you'd like to see something in terms of enrollment trends and what's happening there and staffing recommendations. So that would be an important topic to discuss. Is there anything else?
Could we get an update on our strategic plan at our next regular meeting?
Can, if we have anything to talk about for transportation options or some of the RFPs that we have out, whenever that's ready to be presented.
For transportation?
Transportation and the work family.
Right. Transportation, we actually have a bid opening on March the 14th, or February 14th on Valentine's Day at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
So I'll be able to provide you with more information on that. Hopefully we'll be able to work through that. And the work, the before and after school program will be, the RFP will go out really soon.
Okay.
It's almost ready for attorney review.
Okay, thank you.
Is there anything else that you would like at the next meeting?
More candy.
So a question, like we talked about, you had taken note about the financial options for the technology purchase.
Uh-huh.
Is that something, I thought we would do that in the facilities
when
and finance
committee. When we give the facilities report, we'll be able to talk about that, I think.
Yeah, and then maybe
as well as the curriculum.
Update the board and make recommendations after they've had a chance to go a little deeper with Jason.
I agree. I think my assumption would be that when I give my summary of facilities and finance work, we can talk about that. Because I know we talked, Kevin, you'd like Bobby and Jason to talk to facilities and finance first.
Yeah.
Right.
And then the other question, which I think it was Rachel that had asked it about the curriculum and PD recommended budget from this year to prior year.
Right.
Is that something that we're looking to do in committee or back at the next preliminary budget meeting or work session?
I was actually the one who asked that question relative to the presentation that Bobby made earlier. I think that's an item that we'll discuss in the same second dive, so to speak, at facilities and finance, and then we can report on it.
So we'll report back at the public meeting about recommendations relating to the technology and the
and the PD and curriculum. That's right. Yep.
Okay. So the step will be at that committee meeting. We'll go deeper, and then at the next public meeting, Kevin and the facilities and finance report can touch on those topics, and other committee members can weigh in as well. Are there any other questions or comments?
Any other requests?
I have a comment. I want to thank you guys for this presentation. Bobby, Jason, Dr. Clark, and Heather. It was very informative, very thorough, and you clearly did a lot of prep work. So thank you for that. I think you did a good job, and I know more than I did when I got here about the budget. I thought I knew a fair amount, but I learned a lot tonight, and I appreciate the time that you put into it. Okay, moving on. We have a couple of action items in personnel and negotiations. Dan, do you want to discuss these or overview what these are? Or
Sure.
Report
the,
briefly?
The Personnel Negotiations Committee did meet between this meeting and our last meeting. In Kevin's place was Maria Grant, as Kevin decided to spend the time with his family in Disneyland or Disney World.
Disney World.
Enjoyed actually. Himself?
Yes, I did. Thank you.
As you may recall, is that we had received from some of our employees a request to enter into negotiations for bargaining. With that, we had a recommendation from Dr. Clark to consider a gentleman by the name of Philip Stern to be our representative. The Personnel Negotiations Committee members did interview Mr. Stern and decided that we liked his approach and would like to engage him as our representative during these bargaining negotiations, which are coming up. You also may recall on action item 13PN-158 is that we did have half of a position left over, that selections were in process at our last meeting. The interviews were finalized. We found that the administration did follow all policies, practices, and procedures in regards to interviewing advertisements and selection. They did make a selection and decided where that individual would fall on the step for payments. And so we'd like to put those two action items up for approval.
Okay, so we're seeking a motion for PN 158 and 159?
Correct. Excuse me. Motion?
I'll so make moved. The motion.
Second.
Okay, so the motion by John. And the second by Rachel. And is there any discussion on these two action items? Seeing none, can we have a roll call vote, Heather?
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Mrs. Cresty?
Yes.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Sullivan?
Yes.
And Mr. Cresty? I'm sorry, Mr. Sturgis. I don't have any idea where that came from.
Yes.
I think they're so similar, Sturgis.
No idea. Oh, yes, motion carries.
Okay.
Is there an announcement?
It wasn't in the Democrat.
I'm already then.
Moving on. We have the second recognition of the public. This is an opportunity for anyone in the public to come speak to the Board of Ed. It doesn't have to be an agenda item. If there are any takers, please approach the mic. Okay. seeing no takers tonight, seeking a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
Rachel and Maria.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Oh, yes, meeting adjourned.
Get out of here. We don't want to abstain.